Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
How many of you are thankful for the promises of God? Let me see your hand. I think that's almost everybody in the house. Everyone else is sleeping, so nudge your neighbor, make sure they're awake, okay? Yeah, I'm grateful for the promises of God. David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, he had to stand on the promise of God when he wanted to cross the Zambezi River into Central Africa, taking the gospel. He had been focusing kind of around the coast, but he wanted to go into the interior. But for him to do that, he has to cross this river. But there was one problem. The tribal chief of that area had been mistreated by a trader, and he vowed to kill the next white man that came across the river. And when David heard that, he went back to his camp, and that evening, as he did every night, he got his Bible for his customary Bible reading, and by the flicker of candlelight, he's reading in his Bible, and he comes to the promise in Matthew 28 that says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." And when David read that, he shut his Bible and he said these words, "It is the word of a gentleman of the strictest and most sacred honor. I will not flee." David Livingstone stood on the promise of God that Jesus was with him. He went into Central Africa and a great work was done as many people came to Christ. Many churches were planted. God's promises, they give us encouragement, they give us guidance, they give us peace, they give us joy, they strengthen our faith. What are some of your favorite promises this morning? Help me preach. What are some of your favorite promises? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct your paths. Okay, someone else. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your house will be saved. Okay, that's a great one. How many have family members that you want to see come to Christ? You're believing for them. Yeah, many of us do. That's awesome. Give me another one, another couple here. The Lord will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. We're going to talk about that one in just a moment. Another one this morning. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and we're never alone. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Yes, those are some beautiful promises. And sometimes when you read promises in the Bible, have you realized they have conditions? I mean, I love the condition of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just, and He might cleanse us. Is that what it says? No, He will cleanse us of our sin and of all unrighteousness. If we confess, He forgives us of anything. That's pretty powerful. Another one is in Psalm 84:11, where it says, "No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." How many know it's a good thing to walk uprightly? Yeah. So these are some great promises, but they're conditional. And the one promise someone shared, "My God will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory." It's Philippians chapter 4, 19. What many people don't realize is there is a condition to this promise. All right? There is a condition to this promise. How many want your needs supplied? Yeah, I want my needs supplied. Well, as Paul is writing to the Philippians, that promise was conditional, and the promise of provision is tied to missions. If you're taking notes this morning on the back of your worship program, you can write this down, that the promise of provision, that God to supply all of your needs, it is tied to missions. It is tied to taking the gospel to those people who have never heard about the love, about the sacrifice that Jesus gave His life on the cross. I want you to say it with me. The promise of provision is tied to missions. Say it again. The promise of provision is tied to missions. Paul was a missionary, and he subsidized his work by being a tent maker But that in itself could not support him, so he needed other people to support him and help him along his way. And if you back up to verse 10 in Philippians chapter 4, we learn that the Philippians were supporting Paul. It says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again." That word again, flourished again, it flourished once before and it's flourished now. Paul is saying, you have been supporting me. It wasn't just a one and done time. There was a continuous flow of support. Now, I'm sure in Philippi, there were still unsaved people there, people that didn't know Jesus. But here's the thing. The Philippians didn't say, we've got to invest all our resources in Philippi. That's easy for churches to do. We got to focus on the lost here. Don't worry about them. But the Philippians didn't just care about themselves. They loved giving to missions. They loved taking the gospel to places that had never had it before. And this morning, I want to share with you four reasons from Philippians here, chapter 4, why we should love giving to missions. All right? So you ready this morning? Number one reason we should love giving to missions is those without a chance now have a chance. Those without a chance now have a chance. When you and I give to missions, we are helping people that have never had the chance to hear the gospel, to know that Jesus loves them. They now have a chance to do that. We learned in verse 10 that the Philippians were already giving to Paul. In verses 14 and 15, Paul details their giving. 15 and 16, he says, "You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you." So no one else was supporting, only these people. Verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." Now, we have a map up here of Paul's second missionary journey. If you look at the top center part of the map, you see the red star? That's Philippi. That's the church that Paul was writing to, the Philippians. And he said, "When I left Macedonia, you guys were the only ones who supported me. In Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again." So these people were helping him. They went to Thessalonica, and then they go down to Berea, Athens, Corinth, and Ephesus, and then he heads on back to Jerusalem. As you look at that map, you realize that Paul planted churches that he later wrote books to that we have in our Bible today. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Ephesians. And so not only were people saved there, but Paul ends up writing letters to them, and I want you to catch this, that are being read centuries later by millions and billions of people. Their missions giving is having an effect almost 2,000 years later. I don't know about you, but that sends goosebumps up and down my spine. When we give to missions, if Jesus tarries, what we do may have an effect 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years from now. People who've never had a chance to know about Jesus now have a chance. I want you to think, how many times have preachers, evangelists, missionaries preached from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and someone has responded when they've heard, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. That none of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." How many millions of people have been saved because of those two verses right there? I mean, that is powerful. And then we learn about we're going to be resurrected from the dead in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We learn about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We learn about the spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, prophecy, the spiritual gifts God wants us to exercise in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, like what happened here today. I mean, and then the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6. When you read those five books alone, they are the result, and all the times you've been encouraged, I've been encouraged, billions have been encouraged by those books. It just blows me away. That's the power of giving to missions. People without a chance have a chance, and not just to get saved, but to walk in an abundant, fruitful life that overcomes the enemy because someone gave to missions. And friends, it not only happened centuries, millennia ago, it happens still today. Back several years ago, United States missionaries went to Burkina Faso. It's a country in West Africa. It's the Blue Star there. And while they were there, they planted churches. And in one of those churches, a man named Etienne Yamaego received Christ. Etienne felt a call to become a missionary in the country of Benin, and God led him to go to the coastal town of Ouidah on the southern coast there. Now, Ouidah is the capital and the birthplace of voodooism. Idols stand guard in the streets. Blood from pagan sacrifices stain the ground. There's even a temple dedicated to python worship where worshipers can pick up the serpents without being harmed. Every year, there is an annual voodoo festival where thousands and thousands of people come from all around the world to this festival. That's what Etienne and his wife walked into when God called them to missions. One day, a man appeared at their door with pythons just wreathed around his shoulders. He was the leader of the temple, and with glaring eyes, he told Etienne, "You will go from here. Otherwise, we will kill you." Etienne said, "I'm here to stay. I don't work for your gods. I serve a greater Lord, and he has sent me here." This was just one of the many threats that Etienne and his family received. Etienne went about witnessing in the marketplaces, the streets. He went house to house, and in most of them, he found that the people were bound by voodooism, and there was much supernatural activity. You can see the picture on the right. There is one of their witch doctors who is floating in air, and on a video, he does a complete somersault in air. There's no strings, no wires. Demonic forces are at work. That is the situation he's in. As he is going door to door, he finds there's only about 10 people in this city of thousands that are Christians. He starts a church with those people, and eventually, two boys accept Christ as their Savior. When one of those boys, who was only 12 years old, told his family about his newfound faith in Jesus, they kicked him out of the house and he's on the streets. So Etienne and his wife bring him into their home, begin to raise him like a son, treat him like a son, and after a couple of weeks of discipleship, reading the Bible, there's a knock at their door, and it's this boy's family. And they say, "The boy's mother is very, very sick. She's going to die, and we hear that when you pray, people are healed. Will you come to our house and pray for the boy's mother?" And Etienne says, "No, I won't go, but I'll send your son, and he'll pray, because I want you to realize that this good news of the gospel, the power of the gospel, isn't just for foreigners, but is for people, your own people, your own citizens, your own tribe." And this family would not let their prodigal son come home. They left angry. They left hopeless. But a couple days later, there's another knock at the door. And they say, "Yeah, the boy can come." So this 12-year-old boy, after about 2 weeks of discipleship, goes in, lays his hands, prays for her in the name of Jesus. And in a very short time, she's up, she's cooking, she's doing chores, completely healed. News of the healing spread, and the church began to grow. It went from 10 people to 300 people in a short amount of time. Friends, that wouldn't have happened if people in the United States didn't send Assemblies of God missionaries to Burkina Faso. And as they planted churches, those churches, they got a hold and says, "You know what? We need to not only receive, we need to send." And Etienne, he went to Benin, and God used him in a powerful way. When you and I give to missions, people who've never had a chance to be saved, people who are going to hell without Jesus, now have a chance to be rescued and experience abundant eternal life and freedom from all kinds of bondages. Man, that's why I love giving to missions. That's why we should love giving to missions. And as we give in just a little bit, you're going to come up and put your faith promise cards here. We've got our three missionary families. We've got the Ruckmans in Austria. We have the lady who's in Africa, and we have the Baldwins in Thailand. The people who are in these places who've never had a chance to hear about Jesus will have a chance, and it can transform their lives. That's why we should love giving to missions. Okay, let's move to number two. What's the second reason we should love giving to missions? Because heavenly treasure is gained. When you and I give to missions, we gain heavenly treasure. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said, "Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account." Now, in the original language, this verbiage that Paul is using is language that's tied to commerce. It's tied to money or interest that's being added to one's account. When we give to missions, we are gaining heavenly treasure. And, you know, how many of you are putting your money into retirement? Some of you are. That's a good move to do. You realize when you give to missions, you're not putting money into an IRA, but into an ERA. An eternal riches account. And that's one that's not going to fall and decrease when the market collapses. All right? That will last forever. There once was a wealthy Fortune 500 CEO, a follower of Jesus. He died, went to heaven, and St. Peter says, "Hey, would you like a tour?" And he says, "I'd love one." So they begin to go, and heaven is just beautiful beyond his imagination. And they come to this immaculate mansion. Incredible marble, gold, diamonds, sapphires, rubies. And this businessman, the CEO, goes, "Man, whose place is this?" And it's like, "Well, this is Sister Smith's house. She taught third and fourth grade Sunday school for 40 years. And she took every one of her students and prayed for them by name every single day. She also prayed for the pastor and all the missionaries that were on their missions board. She prayed for them, worked through them. Every week she was praying for him, and she cleaned the church, volunteered cleaning the church every other week. This is her mansion." And the CEO was going, "Wow, this is incredible." They go a little bit further, and they come to a mansion that's even larger, more immaculate, more opulent. You just can't believe it. And he goes, "Whose place is this?" And he goes, "Well, this is Missionary Johnson's home. He went to Africa for 50 years, he and his family, they left their family, their friends, a good job, and went into the mission field, and they planted 50 churches, started a Bible school, raised up hundreds of pastors and Christian workers who went out, and they planted churches, and it just snowballed, and thousands of churches and tens of thousands of people received Christ because of their work, of them losing themselves for the kingdom, giving what they had and giving it away," as we heard that word about, that's what happened for them. And this businessman's getting excited. They go a little bit further, and another mansion, just as great as the other one. And whose is this? Well, this is a pastor who is in a small rural community. He pastored three different churches over 45 years, and many people were saved. People called them to ministry. And this guy's getting excited. "I can't wait to see my place." So they go a little bit further, and they come by a 7x10 shack that would easily fit on this stage. And it had a tin roof, and just made of looked like remnant pieces of wood that you would find and put together, and a tattered curtain over the door. And he's saying, "What's this place?" And St. Peter says, "Well, this is your home." And he goes, "My home? Well, what do you mean this is my home? I mean, Sister Smith got this, and Missionary Johnson and Pastor Jones, they got these great mansions. What about me?" And St. Peter says, "Well, we did the best with what you sent us." When you and I give to the kingdom, to people hearing, when you give tithes and you give offerings, you're laying up treasure in heaven. I know as a kid, I dreamed of finding buried treasure. Anyone else have that dream? You know, finding buried treasure, go digging for treasure, finding treasure. Friends, you can find treasure as you invest in giving to the kingdom around the world. Where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. When we give to missions, we are gaining heavenly treasure. That's why I love giving to missions. The next reason I love giving to missions, in your notes, number three, it's an act of worship that pleases God. It's an act of worship that pleases God. In Philippians 4:18, Paul says, indeed, I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. God is well pleased when we give our resources to the unreached so they can find Christ. Now, as a parent or as a spouse, how many of you, and maybe you're not a parent or a spouse, but maybe as a kid, you give a gift to a friend, to a parent, a spouse, your child, and it's something you know they want, and when they open it up, you see the look on their face. I mean, how does that make you feel? It's like, yeah, I mean, they're happy, they're overjoyed. It makes us feel good. Friends, when we give to the unreached, God smiles. God is well pleased. And Paul uses an analogy of an Old Testament sacrifice, of an animal sacrifice, that a burnt offering that is sweet smelling to God. And yet we're told in the Old Testament that it is better to obey than to sacrifice. But what did Jesus ask us to do? What did he tell us to do in Matthew 28:19? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Here's the thing, when you and I give to missions, it's a sacrifice of worship, but it's also obedience. You kill two birds with one stone when you give to missions. And it pleases God. God loves it. It's an act of worship that goes up to him when we give to missions. George W. Peters says, God is a God of missions. He wills missions. He commands missions. He demands missions. He made missions possible through his Son. He made missions actual in sending the Holy Spirit. When we give to missions, we're obeying the command to go. We're also offering up an act of worship to God that pleases him. And I want to please God. How many of you want to please God with your life? I do. And one way I do that is by giving to missions, and that's why I love giving to missions. So let's review before we hit the last point. What's the first reason we should love giving to missions? Those without a chance now have a chance. Number two, heavenly treasure is gained. Number three, it's an act of worship that pleases God. All right, let's look at number four. The final reason we should love giving to missions is because it opens the door for God's abundant provision. Just as Paul said to the Philippians, my God will supply all your needs, it does the same thing for us. God gives you and I resources, finances, possessions, not just to bless us, but for you and I to be a blessing to others. I want you to take your fists this morning and close them, okay? Close your fists. Now, if I wanted to come and give you a $100 bill, what would you have to do? You'd have to open your hands. And this is the thing. Sometimes people, we go through life with all the blessings God given us. These are mine. These are, no, God, I don't want to help someone else. I don't want to give it away. And when we close our fists to God, we prevent God from giving us more, from giving us what we have. Only as we open it up and I live an open-handed life, a life of generosity, can God say, all right, I can give you more now because you can contain it. When you're close-fisted, you can't contain anymore. But when you open up, God can pour through you and you can give to others. And as you give, God can give you more. Now, we don't give to get, all right? We give because God says to give. We give out of obedience. When God says give, that's when we give. The promise of provision, that promise of my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, that promise of provision is tied to missions. And that's why it's so important for us to have open ears to hear what God is saying and open hearts and open hands to give what he says to give. I have seen God provide and bless me and many people over and over. 15 years ago this summer, Rebecca and I and our family, we moved here to Casper. And before we came, I took our kids and the church we were pastoring in Iowa to camp. We take them to camp, and the thing is, at camp, I was the camp chaplain for the week, and the last night, kind of after the altar service was done, the district youth leader gets up and he says, I am throwing out a question for all the adults, okay? I only want the adults to answer this, the counselors, the campers, all the adults who are there. How many of you believe that God can give you an answer to a question? How many would think God can answer a question? If you got a question, he can answer it, okay? And what happened here is a lot of hands went up there just like it did at that camp. And then he asked this. He says, how many of you believe God can give you an answer to the question if you don't know the question? Think about that. How many believe that God can give an answer to a question even though you don't know it? Again, a lot of hands went up. It took me a while to think about that. And then he says, okay, I want you to wait on God for the answer without knowing the question. And it's a yes or no answer. Is it yes or is it no? And how many know when you don't know the question, that's kind of a scary thing to do, huh? I mean, what is it going to be? You know. But I waited on God. I'm saying, okay, God, yes, no, yes, no. And it's like, no just didn't seem right. And yes, it's like, you know, it's not like, thus saith the Lord, give my, you know, it wasn't that, but it was like, yeah, I'm comfortable with yes. No doesn't seem right. So my answer is yes. So after a few moments, 30 seconds, a minute after, however long the district youth leader waited, his name was Heath Adamson. Heath said, all right, how many, your answer is yes. About half the adults raised their hand. How many, the answer is no. About half the adults raised their hand. He says, here's the question. Will you support missionaries Bob and Barb Van Wyck at $25 a month? Now, Bob and Barb had been the missionaries at camp during the week, speaking to the kids, ministering to the kids. And that was the question that he went. And when he shared the question, my heart sank because I had just a few weeks before come back from a house hunting trip here in Casper. We had a really hard time finding a house. Looked at over 30 houses. The last house we finally made an offer on. And because of that, and housing was a little higher in Casper than we anticipated. And we made our budget and we realized, okay, this goes to savings, this goes here. We had allocated all of our money. And it's like, God, we don't have extra money to spare. It's going to either come out of savings or out of date night. And if I take it out of date night, my wife's not going to be really happy with me. Well, we probably would, we would still be celebrating 34 years of marriage today. All right? It just maybe wouldn't have been as good, but I remember thinking to myself, man, 25 a month, I'm going to have left is for a small Starbucks. You could get a small Starbucks for about a little over $2 back then, okay? And I remember thinking, oh, man, that was the thought that ran through my mind. And they passed out the faith promise card, similar to what you have. And I remember, well, God, you told me the answer. The promise of provision is tied to missions. So I filled out the card, put down $25, turned the card in. That was on a Thursday. I get back from camp on Friday, tell my wife, and she, well, we're going to do what God says to do. On Monday, I get a phone call from our realtor, and she says, Craig, I've got some good news and some bad news. What do you want first? I said, well, give me the bad news. And she says, the house does not appraise for the price. It comes in lower. And I says, okay. She says, well, as a result, unless someone would have a cash offer, and they want it to be out really quick, the house is yours, so you've still got the house. I said, well, that's good. And she says, the good news is that it is going to, the price of the house is down $14,000. It's saving you $6,000 in a down payment. And then also, a little bit, it's going to lower your monthly payment a little bit. Now, I was happy for the $6,000, but when she said it lowers it a little bit, my ears perked up. And I says, a little bit, how much a month does it lower it? And she said, $27.27. And I'm going, yeah! I was more excited about the $25. I mean, I waited to get off the phone before I screamed and yelled and praised God. But, you know, she probably would have thought I was nuts. You saved $6,000, you're happy about $25? But the thing was, and it was so funny because I remember thinking, God gave me the $25, plus I can get an extra small Starbucks for my wife at $227. That's God! The promise of provision is tied to missions. When God speaks to you, obey and give. Don't hold your hands tight. And I not only have seen it for individuals, and that's just one story where God has provided for us, but I've seen it for churches. One of our churches right here in the Wyoming Network, when the pastor came back in 2016, they were their missions commitments were $5 a month, and at his first board meeting, he said to the board, we're going to double our missions commitments to $10 a month. The church was running 17 people at the time, and by the end of that year, the attendance had doubled. Their budget also doubled for general fund to pay for things of the church. In 2016, the church gave $1,973, but in 2022, they gave over $15,000. And their attendance quadrupled. Also, their giving went up from $38,000 to, get this, $254,000. The promise of provision is tied to missions. God provides when we look out and give beyond ourselves and not just think about what do I need. I'm going to close with this. When we took our first pastorate in Iowa, it was a smaller church, and at that time, our church was giving $4,000 a year to missions. They had a $286,000 mortgage with over a $3,000 a month mortgage payment, and the church hadn't been paying on the mortgage until about a year before I came. They finally started paying on the full mortgage. We also had a flat roof that leaked like a sieve. We had this Nebraska Cornhusker red carpet in the lobby, and there was these big 4x8 windows that shined in, and they had bleached out the carpet so that it was a pale yellow. We've got these big rectangles on our carpet. It looked so bad. We had a gravel parking lot, which in an Iowa wintertime was a mess. I mean, you would sink into gravel that deep when we had 12 inches of snow, 18 inches of snow, and it would melt, and you'd get more. It was a mess. All these projects totaled over $100,000. We didn't have the money to do it. The carpet, it was going to cost about $30,000 because it led to adjoining hallways, sanctuary. The carpet needed to be replaced. But we prioritized missions. And in the first year that the church gave $30,000 to missions, God gave us $30,000 of carpet for $500. I won't go into the details, but it was a miracle. In the previous 9 years before we came, the church had only paid $14,000 in loan principal. In the next 9 years, as we prioritized missions, we paid off the total $286,000 debt. We installed a $60,000 parking lot, paved parking lot, a $20,000 video projection system, and a $50,000 new roof, all debt-free. The projects totaled over $446,000, and to this day, I don't have a logical reason to explain that except the promise in Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. The promise of provision is tied to missions. And here at Radius, we have prioritized missions here. In 2010, the first full year we were here, our monthly missions commitments were $1,040. Today, we've increased them 131% to $2,400 a month. God has paid off our million-dollar mortgage. I thought you'd be excited about that. We had bubbled, teal, ripped carpet coming up in places. God has helped us to replace the carpet. He's helped us to get new lights in our sanctuary, work on bathroom remodels, upstairs remodels. He's just provided us money as we have prioritized missions. Friends, since the year 2010, we have given over $1,134,000 to missions. Yeah. The promise of provision is tied to missions. So this morning, I want you to take out your faith promise card. And if you don't have one, our ushers, they are ready to hand those out. If you need a card, and there's only one in there, but maybe as a couple, both of you would like one, or maybe someone didn't get a worship program, hold your hand up high if you need a card. Just wave it. Wave your hand. We got a few over here. Anyone else this morning? Everyone got a card that needs a card, that wants a card? On this card, it says, as God enables me, I will help take the message of Jesus into all the world by giving through the missions program of my local church. There's a place if it's a new commitment or if you're renewing it. It's a weekly faith promise or a monthly faith promise. Or maybe for some of you, it might be a one-time amount. And it's for the next 6 months. What does God want you to give to missions in the next 6 months? That's the question. I'm not asking for an answer today without you knowing the question, okay? The question is this. Ask God, what do you want me to give to missions? And whatever that amount is, no matter how ridiculous it seems, even if it's $25 a month because you say it's tight, if God drops on your heart a figure, I want you to put that down. And then you pray and you trust God. And as God provides the extra, that you don't say, oh, I'm going to go out and, you know, get new golf clubs or buy a new ATV or buy new shoes or new clothes. No, you put that towards your faith promise, because the promise of provision is tied to missions. Let's pray this morning. Father God, I thank you for the numerous opportunities we have had to receive the gospel. That good news that Jesus loves us and he died for our sin. And Lord, there are people, even entire nations, that have never even heard that name of Jesus. They don't have a true spiritual understanding. I pray, Lord God, you would speak to each and every person here about what you want us to give to missions. Our worship team is going to sing this song, and in the next few minutes, as God lays a figure on your heart, I want you to fill out your card. And when that's done, there is a place on your card for you to rip off right here. You take this with you, and you pray about it. As a reminder, put it someplace, your TV remote, your refrigerator, your Bible, where you're going to see it often, and then bring this card and put it in this treasure box, into your ERA, and watch for God to provide as you obey what he says to give to the lost around the world. Come as you're ready.
When you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight, high above my life, I will trust in you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. In this life I lose, I will follow you. Into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find. All I need is you alone, in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you.
About taking the gospel around the world. But there chances are there may be someone here in this building or someone watching online that you have not received Christ as your Savior. Maybe you know that Jesus loves you, He died for you, and He wants you to go to heaven, but for one reason or another, you've resisted and you've said no. And before we go this morning, I want to give everyone an opportunity to do that. If you'd bow your heads and close your eyes. How many here would say, Craig, I need to get right with God. I need to become a follower of Jesus. I need to lose my life. I've been living trying to find my life, but I realize I need to lose it. I need to surrender and let God be the boss of my life. And today I want to turn from my sin and turn and follow Jesus. If that's you in the house, how many would say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to lose my life. I want to surrender to Him. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else? Just put your hand up and put it back down. Those of you watching online, if God's speaking to your heart and you know that's you, you need to give your life to Christ, I'd like you just put your hand up and say, God, please forgive me. I surrender. I want to follow you. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else in the house, you'd say that this morning? I'm going to say this prayer. I'd like everyone to repeat after me. Father God, I need your forgiveness. Wash me of my sin. Thank you for your love, for sending Jesus. I receive him as my leader and my forgiver. I surrender my will to your will. Help me to follow you. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.